Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the end of our studies, the I Ams of the Gospel according to St. John. This has been a very enjoyable study for me because the I Ams that are spoken of in John's Gospel give us a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great I Am. He uses that title in the third chapter of Exodus in connection with the commissioning of Moses. We won't go back into that now. But he uses it also some 25 times in the Gospel according to St. John, and we should notice when he uses the word I Am, even in just apparent literary construction, we should take note of what he is speaking of. Now, today we wish to consider the Lord Jesus under the I Am of power, the I Am of ascension, and the I Am of heaven. In John chapter 18, beginning at verse 3, or beginning at verse 2, rather, we see Judas Iscariot coming with his soldiers to apprehend the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. This would seem to be a moment of defeat, but it is a moment of power. We'll read on. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Now, if you have the Authorized Version, you will notice that the words, I am he, the word, is in he, rather, is in italics. The Lord simply answers, I am. The word he was just simply supplied by the translators to smooth out the translation. It's not in the original. The Lord Jesus Christ simply said, I am. Verse 5, then answered Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. Now listen, please. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. This was the I am of his power. He was in charge here. He was not the victim of circumstances. Our Lord Jesus Christ went voluntarily to the cross to die for you and for me, that we might be redeemed, that our sins might be put away. And he is the one who died for you and for me. And he was indeed in charge on this occasion. Now, we go to further evidences that our Lord Jesus Christ is the I Am of power. The shout on the cross, the bowing of his head, the dismissing of his Holy Spirit proves this, as we read in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Our Lord Jesus Christ there promises to his disciples sometime, perhaps a year or two, before he went to the cross, that he had the power to lay down his life. We read, there, therefore, doth my Father love me, John 10 and 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, also we read that further in other portions that he was absolutely in control. When our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he shouted out the shout, Tetelestai, which means finished. It is finished. And it is wonderful to note that he actually uses that expression in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. He absolutely anticipates the fact that he is going to die, and in John chapter 17 and verse 4 we read there, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Well, now how could he say, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do, before he had died? When he died on the cross, he shouted out, Tetelestai. He shouted out that victorious shout, "It is finished, done, completed." What was finished? My salvation was finished. He had died. He would be dying momentarily. He had done all that was necessary to save me from my sins, and he said, "It is finished. Salvation's work is done. You can't add anything to it. Jesus Christ is a 100% Savior. He died for you and for me." Now, it is noticeable that when he said that, in Mark chapter 15 and verse 39, we read there that when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." The centurion in charge of the execution said, "This man was the Son of God." He'd never seen a man die like this before. Crucifixion is a slow death. The victim becomes weaker and weaker and weaker until his voice is hardly above a whisper and his tongue cleaves to the roof of his mouth. His mouth is dry. He can't say a thing. But Christ shouted, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head down upon his own breast, committed his spirit into the hand of the Father, and gave up the ghost. He was in charge. This is the I Am of power. And closely connected with this is the I Am of ascension. There also, in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel and verse 11, we read the words, "I am no more in this world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are." Now, what did the Lord mean, "I am no more in this world"? Wasn't he with his disciples on this occasion? He had not been crucified yet. He was not dead. And yet he says, "I am no more in this world. I am." Notice, please, he uses his name of deity. "I am no more in this world." Now, only the I Am can speak of something as having been accomplished before it was accomplished. He said that of his triumphant shout on the cross. "It is finished." He says in that verse there, 17 and 4, just prior to this 10th verse, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." This was God speaking. He could speak of the cross as having been accomplished. It was just as sure. He could speak of his ascension as it had already been taken into place. "I am no more taken place. I am no more in this world." Now, our Lord Jesus could only do that. God and God alone can speak of the future as having been accomplished. The Bible is a book of prophecy. This is interesting, and I should just add perhaps a footnote here. The Bible is a book of prophecy. Only in the Bible, only in the sacred readings of the Judeo-Christian religion, do you have a Bible that gives you prophecy. The Quran, these writings of Confucius, or Hinduism, rather, in any of these writings, there's no prophecy. They can't prophesy. But prophecy, as far as God is concerned, is just history written in advance. When God says a thing is going to happen, it's going to happen. I thrill at these I Ams. In the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, he speaks of the work of the cross as having been completed. He speaks of his ascension as having taken place. Only the great I Am can do that. Now, we have one more I Am. He is the I Am of heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke first of all of those who will not be with him in heaven, and this is very sad indeed. But he does speak of those who will be with him in heaven. He is the I Am of heaven. He is the center of heaven. He is the one that's going to see that we get to heaven, and he's going to be the one, sadly enough, that is going to see to it that others do not get to heaven. We read in John chapter 7, verse 36, very sad words. They said, "What manner of saying is this, that he saith, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, for where I am, thither ye cannot come?" The Lord Jesus had already said that earlier in this chapter, and now they're quoting him. And they are quoting the words that condemn themselves. What manner of saying is this that he saith, Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, for where I am, thither ye cannot come. Well, what the Lord meant by where I am, he will be with the Father. He will be in heaven. And he tells these people, you would not have me. Now I will not have you. That is one of the saddest considerations of all the scripture. The Lord makes it official. You will not be with me in heaven. And he repeats it. In the eighth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus said unto them again, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. This is sad indeed, that the I am tells certain people, you will not be with me where I am, because you would not have me on this earth. Now let's think of a more pleasant subject. The I am of those that will be with the Lord Jesus. And this is found in John chapter 17 and verse 24, that wonderful 17th chapter of John's Gospel. The Lord Jesus says there, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now he says, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. Incidentally, this is the only time in the New Testament, the only time in the Word of God where the Lord Jesus, in the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus says, I am going to will something. He was always devoted to his Father's will, but listen, this is his will now. Please listen again as I read it. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want them to be where I am, and it's the I am that says we're going to be there. And that we might behold his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is wonderful to contemplate the time when we're going to see the one who died on the cross for me and for you. I put myself first because it's more personal. I'm going to see the wounds that were made, created by the spikes driven through his hands and through his feet, and the gaping wound in his side. And I'm going to realize, as I've never done before, those wounds were made for me. Let me ask a question now, please. Did he die for you? Let me tell you something. He did. He died for you, trusting, of course, that you would be satisfied with the fact that he accomplished your salvation when he cried out, it is finished, and that you would receive him. Will you have him today? He wants to be your Savior. Our Father, we pray at the conclusion of this series of studies that you will convince us of the majesty of Christ and of his availability to us. We pray in his name. Amen.